Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What happened to the dinosaurs? Why is this such a big deal? There are so many birds and beasts and fish, creatures of the ocean that have become extinct. But nobody seems to give it too much thought. But however, the dinosaur seems to be something that people are very concerned with. They have even made movies out of dinosaurs, isn't it? Where you have Jurassic Park, and they have made millions and millions of dollars out of these movies. And people seem to be very interested in the dinosaurs, perhaps because of its size. Please understand that whenever you use the word dinosaur, when you think of the word dinosaur, please do not think of what you have watched on television or in the movies. Because there is no way these people could know what the dinosaurs actually look like. So what they have in the movies are all an imagination, a concoction of man's thinking. Whether they are of that particular color, or whether they are of rainbow color, whether they are splashed with purple or whatever color, nobody knows. It's gone. Okay, so this is only man's imagination. Now, if dinosaurs existed in the Bible, why is the word dinosaur not used in our King James translation? Has anyone ever asked you that question? Why is the word dinosaur not used by the King James translators? Now, the King James Bible was translated in 1611. However, the term dinosaur was not coined until 1841. It was coined by a man called Sir Richard Owen, a famous British anatomist. He was the first superintendent of the British Museum, and he was a staunch anti-Darwinist. So he was not for evolution. Now, why did he coin this word dinosaur? Now, dinosaur simply means a giant lizard. Okay, that's the meaning of dinosaur. Is it a giant lizard? I think it's a giant lizard, right? Megalosaurus is a great lizard. So dinosaur is a giant lizard. Megalosaurus is a great lizard. And apparently Sir Richard Owen, by the time he was the superintendent of the British Museum, he was exposed to the giant tooth of an iguana. It is called an iguanodon. And so he was the one who coined this term dinosaur, giant lizard, because of the iguanodon tooth that was in the British Museum, discovered by Dr. Mantell in 1822, when they were walking in somewhere in Britain. The wife saw something sticking out, something that was white and shiny. She walked toward it, brought the husband, and then they dug it up and they found this giant bone with a tooth attached to it. And so the term iguanodon came into use. And so in the British Museum, he coined dinosaur. And that's why the word dinosaur is not found in the King James Bible. However, that does not mean that there was no dinosaur, even though the word was not found. Now, the issue is this. Same fossils, same universe, same present time period, most of the time same facts, same data. Why is it that there are two very contrasting interpretations between the evolutionists as well as the creationists? According to the evolutionists, dinosaurs evolved 235 million years ago, long before man ever existed or evolved. That means there is no way dinosaur and human beings could ever coexist. Now, that is their belief. The evidence, according to them, tells us that there are definitely dinosaurs in the past, many of them, because the fossils tells us that there were a lot of dinosaurs. And so they said that around 65 million years ago, something happened to change all these. And according to the evolutionists, many of them believe that what caused the dinosaurs to disappear from the face of this earth, they believe that there must have been a great global cataclysmic event. And they propose that it could have been an asteroid that impacted this earth that killed them all. Now, other evolutionists, some of them believe that those that were not killed evolved. So evolved into birds, and therefore those who believe that they have evolved into birds, they will say that dinosaurs are not extinct. It's just that they have evolved. So some of the birds that you see in the sky, they were once upon a time those huge dinosaurs. All those big names that end with saurus. I won't try to pronounce them. There are too many of them and they're very confusing. So that's what they believe. So some evolutionists say all of them gone and whatever remain. Others believe that they have evolved further after millions of years and they have turned into the birds in the sky. Evidence. That's their conclusion. Now remember the messages that we have preached from this pulpit in the past. If there had been a global catastrophe, not the one that they talk about that destroyed the dinosaurs. A global catastrophe, as the Bible tells us concerning the flood in Noah's time. That global catastrophe will destroy their formula that they use, which depends upon a constant rate of decay in whatever rate they use to measure the age of this earth. Whether it is carbon-14 dating, or they use crystal to do any dating, it cannot accept a global catastrophe. And that is why they have to reject and deny that there was a global catastrophe in order for their theory of evolution that says the world is billions of years old, the dinosaur was 230 plus million years old, and then 65 million years ago, it was completely wiped out. Some evolved. Now, if there is evidence, clear evidence that human beings and the dinosaurs coexist, their entire theory will go up in smoke. Now, why is all these so important and significant? To the creationists, the world is about 6,000 years old. We do not reject science, but we have a problem with the science that the evolutionists teach and subscribe to, that they use to study and date this earth. You have the historical or origin science, and you also have the operational science. We are all for operational science. Operational science are the kind of science that are constant, that deals with the present situation, where whatever you state can be repeated under certain conditions, you can make experiments and it can be repeated over and over again and it cannot be denied. Now you say that water will turn to ice at 0 degrees centigrade. I don't believe you. You show it to me. I still don't believe you show it again and again. And this is called operational science. It deals with the present, deals with what we can do and see based upon what we call operational science. But the evolutionist that they claim is very scientific is based upon what they call historical or origin science. Now, historical and origin science deal with the past, as the name itself explains. Historical, history, past. There is nothing we can do in the present that can demonstrate what happened in the past. And so what they propose are purely based upon what they think could have happened, may have happened. But for them to say that this is like operational science, with the same kind of certainty, like operational science, that anyone who does not believe in what they believe, you just simply call them ignoramus, that they are behind time, that is very unfair and unjust. Nobody was there. You were not there. So-called how many billion years ago. And so because of your so-called theory, everyone is supposed to accept it. This is not operational science. This is historical origin science. And there is no way you can prove it. You want to prove and demonstrate that the world was impacted by an asteroid that destroyed all the dinosaurs? You were not there. There was no record at all. It's pure speculation. What is crucial is the kind of spectacles you use to look at the data, the evidence. The present, the same universe, same data. It's the glasses. They choose to wear the evolutionary pair of glasses. And because of that, they will arrive at this conclusion, which is by and large speculative in nature. But if you put on the glasses of the Bible tells us that God was there. God was not only there, He was the one who created this world into being. And that is why this question, what happened to the dinosaur, is so important and it is so crucial. Crucial to our faith, as you will see from the Bible. Is there evidence that the dinosaurs live with men? If we can prove that the dinosaurs and the man coexisted, immediately the theory of the evolutionists will go up in smoke, instantaneously. Job chapter 40. The word behemoth in verse 15. It is the literal transliteration of the Hebrew word. And then in Job chapter 41, verse 1, you have the word Leviathan. Also a direct transliteration of the Hebrew word. Now you look at the description of behemoth. Now some say that this would probably be a gigantic elephant or maybe a hippopotamus. Right? That's what some of them say. Could it ever be? Is it really a rhinoceros? Sorry, not a rhinoceros. I mean an elephant or a hippopotamus. Now you watch the description. Now God basically was teaching Job, who had all this while been arguing and defending himself against the three friends. And Job crossed the line in his defense against his three friends. Now he may not have cursed God and died as his wife suggested. But the murmurings and the complaints of Job was sufficient enough for God to intervene and to put Job in his place. Who are you to argue? Look at verse 2. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? You want to teach God? He that reproved God, let him answer it. So you, Job. And then God said, you look at the behemoth. So the behemoth existed together with Job. Now Job was definitely a real person. He has a family. His family died. He lived in a place that is mentioned in the Bible. He was blessed by God. He was a real person. Now you look at the description of this behemoth and you'll find that that animal that is described here cannot be an elephant or a hippopotamus. Which I make with thee, together with you, right? Job, you together. God said, I make you, this animal together with you. He eateth grass like an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins. And his force is in the navel of his belly. So he must have been a very big body, right? Very strong, powerful body. He moveth his tail like a cedar. What is the size of an elephant's tail? Is it like a cedar? You know what's a cedar, right? A cedar is a huge tree with giant-sized tree trunk. You've seen an elephant before. You know what an elephant looked like, right? What is the size of tail does an elephant have? Now, if they say that this is an elephant, then it should look like this. Isn't it? That's a cedar. Now, have you ever seen this kind of elephant before? In Africa? In any zoo? Because that's what some of them say, to just simply discount the book of Revelation simply because they cannot agree and accept that man and the dinosaurs coexisted. And the behemoth, from the manner in which God himself described this animal, with a tail like a cedar. You ever seen a hippopotamus with that kind of tail? Now, of course, I didn't do this drawing. I'm not that good. All right, this is taken from Answers in Genesis. Okay? Do you think it's like that? You ask yourself. Just to prove your point, you'd rather deny the facts. And the sad part is this. Some of these are not unbelieving evolutionists. The sad part is, they are professing believers. And in order to be consistent to their view of theistic evolution, so-called professing believers, and some of them are pastors, and some of them are even professors in seminary and Bible college, when they come to Job chapter 40, they would follow the evolutionist way of thinking and reasoning. And they just simply brush it off and say that it's an elephant. God made it abundantly clear that it cannot be an elephant. He moved his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his bones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like the bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. That creature does not exist anymore in our time. But this creature existed in the same time as Job. Job chapter 41 verse 1. You look at Leviathan. And some of them will simply explain this away and just say this is a whale. It cannot be a whale. The Hebrew word is the word Leviathan. Now you look at the description that God used to describe this Leviathan. Right? Canst thou draw Leviathan with a hook? Are you so great and so powerful, Job, that you can catch this creature? You look at what this creature is like. Look at verse 14. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. You know of any whale that is covered with scales? They have no scales. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. It's like they are twin, they are attached. They are joined one to another, they stick together and they cannot be sundered, cannot be torn apart. By his sneezings, the sneezings here simply means sneezing. When they hurt you, when they sneeze, huh? A light does shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. In other words, they breathe out fire and smoke, in a literal sense. Do you know of any creature other than in the imagination of man's mind in Hollywood movies, where they have such creature, Leviathan, that breathe out fire and smoke? Not at all. They coexisted together with Job, and that's why God described Job and put Job in his proper place. Describe it to Job. Who do you think you are to challenge God? You look at these creatures. You can't catch them. They are so huge, so enormous, so powerful. And God tells Job, I control them. I make them. You want to challenge God? So God used these two giant creatures to put Job in his proper place. Now, of course, these people will not accept God's word, isn't it? They find it so hard to accept God's word. Do you know that in 1977, this was captured, a 10-meter-long plesiosaurus dredged out by a Japanese fishing boat, the Zuyo Maru near Oamaru, New Zealand, in the early 1977. You know that? This was also reported in a scientific journal called Oceans in 1977. Now, why did they just simply bury these facts? Why did the evolutionists not acknowledge that this creature was found in 1977? And the Japanese found this event so important that they even had a stamp of this creature in 1977 as a commemorative stamp to remind them of what they have found. Why did the evolutionists hold on to their theory? To reject the Bible is one thing. Yes, unbelievers, I can even accept and understand that. But here you go, evolution, they all based upon evidence. And now you have clear evidence that if dinosaurs have perished and disappeared 65 million years ago, it is impossible for them to find any real carcass. You can find fossils, but carcass? Impossible. And yet, they just simply do not want to believe. Now remember, for believers to teach this is deadly. It's one thing for unbelievers to do so. The dinosaurs have definitely become extinct. Do you know that there are living fossils that are with us today? Living fossils are fossils that they say that are found in stones. And yet, you'll find them very much alive today, especially fossil plants. Now, this is a fossil plant. All right, this is from a coal seam of the Pittsburgh near Nussbrook in Germany. Okay, this is a fossil plant. Embedded in stone, in coal seam, in the coal. And according to evolutionists, it must have taken millions of years for it to become what it was. For us, we believe that it was in Noah's time. Very simple, compressed, and then the coal was there. But they don't believe it. Now you look at this. Life fossils, living fossils. Okay? That's the fern. It's not very clear. My apologies. All right, that's the same fern. Now what happens? Now remember this picture. Okay? Now remember, this is a real life plant. You see the similarity? What happened was this. You see the two side by side? Are they the same? You look at this. They just bend the plant. You see, a man just took the fern, bend it. This is what happened. Fossilized on the coal seam in Germany. Again, the evolutionists will not accept this. They just simply will not accept the Bible and even the facts and the data. Do you like to eat prawns? I like to eat prawns. They're very delicious. You agree? Agree, huh? Very delicious prawns. Do you know that they have discovered a fossil of a prawn in a stone? So prawns, they're exactly the same. They found a fossil of a prawn. Living fossils. They are with us, telling us that the evolutionary theory cannot stand, cannot hold water. But what is exactly the problem? Dinosaurs, the creature, the animals are extinct just like many other creatures have died off, disappeared from the face of the earth. There are many reasons. The habitat change, food availability before the flood and after the flood, competition from other animals, diseases, and of course, hunters. Today you and I realize that if certain sea creatures or certain land animals are not protected by law, men as hunters would just simply kill them all. Isn't that true? The American bisons, there used to be millions of them running around in the fields, in the valleys of California. And if not a law had been passed to protect them, hunters would have killed them off and used their skin for money. Sell them. Same for the whale. Now they are protecting animals. Why? To prevent them from being extinct. Why was dinosaur such a big deal that they won't simply accept what these evolutionists, they have no problem saying that these creatures that have extinct, this bird is extinct because of habitat changes, food availability, competition from other animals, diseases and hunters. They don't mind accepting all these reasons for the extinction of other creatures, but they make a big deal about dinosaurs. Why is that so? Why can't they just use the same reason, same explanation for the extinction of so many other birds and sea creatures and land animals? But for dinosaurs, they just simply have to use it to reinforce their theory of evolution, even when the evidence, the data, is against their theory. They just simply would not want to accept that it is not 235 million and definitely did not die off 665 million years ago. The reason is spiritual. It's not scientific. It is spiritual. This does not belong to the science that we can deal with, operational science. This deals with history, past science, origin science, which nobody knows. It is pure speculation at best. And they want us to believe in their speculation. And if we don't, they just simply call us names and write us off as ignoramus. Do not want to face reality. I am not upset and angry with unbelieving evolutionists, because they are unbelievers. It's expected of them to be against Christianity. But I am most upset with pastors and seminary professors who will teach and promote such evil and theories. The Bible made it abundantly clear that God created the world in 6 literal days. The Bible made it very clear that the land animals, including dinosaurs, were all created on day 6. Genesis 1 made that very, very clear. Verses 20 to 25 and verse 31. And man was created together with all of God's creatures. And on day 6, man was the climax of God's creation, man and woman. And after that, God said it was very good. They coexisted before the fall, before the flood. And they continue to coexist after Noah's flood. And for them to say that it was billions of years old is to undermine not only the authority of the Bible, but will also undermine the gospel message of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible said it very clearly. There was no death before there was sin. And for them to say that the dinosaur existed millions of years, so that means death kept on occurring over and over and over again with every form of evolution. Then how do you explain that death came about because of sin? By teaching evolution, you are saying that death is a byproduct of the evolutionary process. Then how do you present the gospel? To me, these teachers, I'm not talking about the people in the pew. The people in the pew may be ignorant. They may have been taught this and they just simply swallowed up and they did not behave like the Bereans to check what they heard from the pulpit of their pastors who attacked the word of God against scriptures. But these are supposed to be teachers, professors with seminary degree and training. And for them to purposefully reject the Bible and subscribe to evolution and say that the world is millions and billions of years old and then put the name of God behind it, call it theistic evolution, they are more dangerous than the unbelieving evolutionists. And then they use the dinosaur, using the same tune, the same song, the same reason that the evolutionists use. An asteroid came, a cataclysmic event, and destroyed them all. And then they evolve into birds. What kind of gospel do they preach? Are they really born-again believers when the gospel they preach is not the gospel that is taught to us in the scripture, but the Bible made it abundantly clear? O death, where is thy sting? How do they interpret that? O death, where is thy sting? For the strength of sin is the law. God gave us the law to show us how sinful we are. And there was no death because God said it was very good. And death came about because of sin. And when sins are forgiven, Christians, you don't need to die anymore. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. You don't have to be afraid of death anymore. But if you believe in evolution and call yourself a Christian, you cannot believe in that. Because death already existed. You cannot say that death was a result of sin. If death is not a result of sin and is a byproduct of the evolutionary process, then what is? the teaching of the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 2, when the Bible says when Jesus Christ came, death died. He defeated death on our behalf when He died for our sins. The salvation of these teachers, the salvation of these seminary and Bible college professors and pastors who subscribe to the theistic evolution, one big question mark. Their gospel is not the gospel of the Bible. Oh, they talk about Jesus Christ. They talk about Jesus Christ died on the cross. Third day He rose from the dead and so on. But what about the early part? On what basis do you tell someone to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and their Savior? How are they different from the charismatics who use the in part as the same? Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again on the third day, but they are first part of the gospel is believe in Jesus Christ and you will never be sick anymore. You'll never be poor. That is not what Jesus Christ came to die for. God, by His own power, can take away all diseases. God, by His own power, can make you filthy rich. Do you know that? He is the creator of heaven and earth. If God were to redeem you with gold and silver, He could easily have done it. But the Bible made it abundantly clear. I did not redeem you with gold and silver, but with Christ's precious blood. You remember that verse? And now you have charismatics saying that God redeemed you by gold and by silver so that you can have gold and silver after you accept Christ as Lord and Savior. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is another gospel. And here you have so-called professing Christians saying that death is not the result of sin, but a byproduct of evolution. They have no gospel to preach. It is a very deadly and dangerous teaching. And they will use the dinosaur as a smokescreen if you believe their theory, their mumbo jumbo, denying even hard facts, definitely a denial of the Bible. You are in peril of preaching another gospel. Because you will become inconsistent. And in order for you to be consistent one day, if you believed in the evolutionary theory of the disappearance of the dinosaur, that it occurred 65 million years ago, you may think that it is harmless. I still believe in Jesus Christ, but little by little. If you want to be consistent, then when somebody teaches you the book of Genesis, and then you come to Genesis chapter 3, then you have the account of the serpent and Eve, then you have the account of God creating the world in 6 literal days, where dinosaurs and men were created by God on the same day. Then you have to change the day into millions of years. That is problem number one. Because the word day there has always been used to mean 24-hour day whenever there is a numerical adjective. Like first day, second day, third day, one day, 3 days, 30 days. There's a numerical adjective, always 24 literal hours throughout the Bible. Not one single exception. And then after you have changed that, then you have to also change Genesis 3. Then you have to relegate that to some kind of myth. It never really happened. It was some grandpa story that a Jewish grandpa told his grandchild as he puts him to bed. You just simply have to explain it away. And then when the Bible talks about God created Adam out of the dust, He shaped it and molded it, and then He breathed into it and gave it life, then you have to say that the dust there actually is a figure for billions of years. I didn't make this up. I read this in our seminary, in some of this literature that we were forced to read, all this nonsense. Under the subject called Old Testament Critical Methodologies. In 2 weeks, we were forced to read more than 1,000 pages, and then after reading every article, we have to write a summary of what we have read. Those were 2 weeks of torture. And it was done during winter. My wife was back home, and I have to read and read and read and finish it within 2 weeks. So sometimes you don't have enough time to read it. 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, snowing outside, my wife back home in Singapore, and then I sat down there, everybody sleeping, it was snowing, and I was cold and freezing, and then reading this kind of junk. It was vexation of spirit, to say the least. We were forced to read all this junk, and now I know why. Because this junk were not limited to only the books. These junks are found in churches today, in some of our own BP churches. This kind of junk. So it doesn't just simply remain in books. pastors who have been taught this, they believe in this and they have taught this, propagated this into the hearts and minds of fathers and mothers who in turn will probably pass it on to their children. You have just consigned and condemned your children to hell because you have just contradicted yourself, and the kind of gospel that you give to your children cannot be the gospel of the Bible. Because the Bible made it abundantly clear. It was because of sin that death came. And because of Jesus Christ, who came to die for my sin, and since sin was the result of death, all my sins are forgiven, death is now taken away from me. And that's why the Bible describes every believer who died as sleeping. He doesn't die and end up in hell anymore. When he stops breathing on earth, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But for an evolutionist, what gospel do you have? Absolutely contradictory. You cannot have it both ways. The evolution theory is against the teaching of God's word. It is even against the evidence that we have. They just want to bury the evidence. Don't let them bury the word of God. What happened to the dinosaur is not just a trivial, philosophical, mental exercise. The implication is enormous. It has spiritual, deadly implication. If Satan wants to destroy your faith, destroy your church, he's not going to be so foolish to do it directly. He will do it insidiously. And this is how he has crept into many churches and sadly into many hearts and many lives of professing believers, making them think that all is well with their soul, when in reality they are still dead in sin, bound for hell, but just make them think they are bound for heaven. What happened to the dinosaurs is not trivial. It's not a scientific problem that you can just simply discuss without spiritual implication. It is deadly. Bear that in mind. It is a spiritual attack on the very heart of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because of sin, we die. Jesus Christ came to bear the punishment for your sins and for my sins. And God accepted what he has done by raising him from the dead for our justification. If it is not for sin that Jesus came to die for, then what did he come to die for? Pray tell. You believe in evolution? You have to preach another gospel. To be consistent. To be consistent. Because the person will ask you, when did sin begin? When did death begin? You will have a big problem. Bear in mind that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but always against principalities in high places. And this issue is not as innocuous as you think or imagine. Teach your children well. Understand this well. The Bible is abundantly clear. God created the dinosaurs together with Adam and Eve on day 6. The dinosaurs were brought into the ark when God told Noah to bring the animals 2 by 2. Please understand, Noah is not a dummy, neither is God. God brought the animals to Noah. He doesn't have to bring 2 grandpa and grandma, giant humongous one, right? Just bring 2 baby ones, isn't it? The babies, they don't occupy that much space and they don't eat that much. They were there only for 1 year. Then after that, they came out and then they multiply like all the other animals. But then along the way, many other factors caused them to become extinct, just like many other birds or sea creatures or land animals that also became extinct. Probably the main culprit is either disease or hunters. Just like all the other animals, the dinosaur lived with man. And they are extinct because of many, many real, simple, logical reasons. Disease, man. Let us continue to defend the faith. Because if you don't defend the faith as children of God, nobody else would. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your grace and Your mercies in our lives, for giving to us the complete word of everlasting life, that has an answer to all the many issues and problems and attacks that we are facing even in the 21st century. We thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful book. Help us to be good students of thy word before we can be teachers of thy word. And may the word of God always come alive in our hearts, that we may not be hearers only, but doers also. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may the word of God be embraced by God's people, that we may continue to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints in these last days. May we all be found faithful and courageous when we stand before thee on the day of judgment. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.